Everybody got a handout? Floating around somewhere back there. You're missing one. All right, this morning we're in Genesis 37 and 39. Wednesday night, Larry skipped 37 because this Joseph and jumped over and did 38. But we'll jump back now and pick up 37 and then get 39. Very familiar, very, very, very familiar stories this morning in the life of Joseph. And so that's what we'll be picking up here. And I was flipping my Bible open here because most of the stuff I got on my notes. I wanted to look at one. The very first verse, chapter 37. It said, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." So it starts off like it's talking about Jacob in the chapter here. But then immediately in verse 2, it turns to the genealogy of Jacob. And then Joseph being done, here we go to that. So the rest of the story from that very first verse on turns to the whole rest of that chapter where Jacob's involved. The transition is going to occur now from Jacob to Joseph. And through this chapter, and then jumping 39, it's almost exclusively then after that. So, okay, let's get started. Pay a lesson to me. Question number one on your paper there. Question number one is in that very second verse that I just looked at there. It says, Jacob's son, Joseph, is not listed as a patriarch. We talk about the patriarchs. And, thank you, ma'am. It's been Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not list Joseph as one of the patriarchs. But he is the link that's going to take from the patriarchs, get us into Egypt, as we know, for the following this narrative story through. He now becomes the center of our story. How old is he? This time he's 17 years old. So keep that in mind as we go through this chapter and think about a 17-year-old lad, if you will, youngster, that all this is happening to. So he's 17 years old, and he's with his brothers tending the sheep, knowing they had lots and lots of flocks. We talked about that throughout the whole time with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob also, lots of flocks. So he's out tending the sheep with his brothers. And what does he do, number two on the paper? Boy, he's a tattletale. He brings back a bad report to his fathers about the actions of who? His brothers, but specifically it talks about the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, the two handmaids. Now, I don't know if there was any jealousy involved there, if it was actual total truth, is it exaggerated? I don't know. There's nothing said about that. No reason not to believe it. But he brings back this bad report to them. His father about them. And that wouldn't have been maybe so bad by itself, but question number three. There's another little kink into the story here. I read three, fill in the blanks. It was Hayden, okay? So there's a what factor involved here? Favoritism, okay? Jealousy type thing brings it up. Takes a bad report back about him. Joseph's a favorite son. His father makes him this coat or this tunic of many colors. And this caused a major jealousy by the brothers. So things are set up here not to be going well. So he's 17 years old, tending the sheep, takes his bad report back about the actions of his brothers. On top of that, he's a favorite son. He's shown favoritism, this coat of many colors. And because of all this, their brothers hate him. Now, with that scenario being said, let's get into what happens next. Now we have a couple of dreams coming up. So, number four there says, describe the two dreams. What was the first dream Joseph said he dreamed? He told his brothers about. I didn't mean to push that button yet. You read it off the sheet, off the screen up there. It is what? Yeah, they all bow down to him. Now, you've seen drawings and pictures of this, I'm sure, but the sheet, like we see corn put together out in the fields more so years ago up there and bundled together and stand up the stalks out there. Then around him, maybe in a circle or something. Here's all these other sheaves are bowed down to his sheaf. Okay. And in the time of dreams with meanings there, the brothers took this to mean what? We're going to bow down to you. I mean, what is this stuff? I mean, who do you think you are? Dreamer, they called him there. And then the next dream got a little more complicated in that who else is involved in it? Father and his mother. So what's this dream? Not sheaves this time, it's what? Sun, moon, and stars that bowed down to him. Okay, so the brothers hated him even more because of this dream, first time. Another dream, And this time the sun, moon, 11 stars bow down to him. And this brings in not only the brothers bow down to him, but now his parents, his mother and dad will bow down to him. And what was Jacob's reaction to this? He rebuked him. He sure did. He's, yeah. Wait a minute, Joseph. What are you saying here, type thing? And brothers hated him and envied him even more. So they already didn't like him. They already hated him because of the favoritism, as Greg said over here. And coat him into colors. Now the dreams that get brought out, and now the whole family is saying, you know, we're going to serve you at some point. What is this stuff? Yes, sir. But, okay. Yeah, and I was going to make that your point. I'm glad you mentioned it there. Joseph did what? He observed these things, and that's the last phrase of that verse here, Jimmy. It says the verse I'm looking for, it's got one more, huh?
Verse
11. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. The last part, verse 11 there. Yeah, he kept it in his mind. I think it's like he almost knows there's more to it than what he knows at this time. Okay?
Almost like
yep. 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 Right. There's a meaning behind this that I don't know what it is right now. Jacob says he observed these things and he kept them in his mind. I said, I'm following that back because it's going to come back one of these days. Something right here. Okay? Last part of verse 11 there. Okay, let's move on with Joseph now. So, number 5. Israel sends Joseph to where? To check on his brothers. To Shechem. I'm going to put a map up here in a minute. And he did invite them there, so they went on to Dothan. And get oriented on the map here. And I know you've all known this little trick before. You always find the Dead Sea over here by itself. You're about straight across the top, and you'll find Jerusalem sitting over here, about a third of the way across. So, key to that. And once you get Jerusalem located, a lot of other things have fallen in place above or below Jerusalem. So, Jerusalem's here. They have been in Hebron here. Okay? And he sent them to Shechem to find the brothers here at Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim territory. So, pretty good ways up there. He looked there and didn't find them. So they've gone on to Dothan, which is on up here. This is all mountainous territory. Remember this. The mountains and ranges come down to the center part up here. So it's not that's like walking across a nice, straight concrete type thing. But apparently they're moving tremendously, around a lot to get these sheep places to graze up through there. It's not just like running out in the back 40 over here somewhere. Like you might think how pasture these days, but moving around a lot. So they're in the area of Hebron. Go up to Shechem looking for them. Don't find them. He's going up to Dothan to try to find them there. So he's there. And they see him coming. And number 6 then says, they see him coming. They conspire. And work and talk about themselves. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. Now, that hatred, that jealousy, that favoritism, all these things, the dreams, whatever went into all this thing here now, it's culminated to the point here. They hate him so much. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. So, they said, what? When I saw him coming, who do they say is coming? This dreamer is coming, okay? Now, I don't know if they looked at him, not just the dreams he had there, but was he a dreamer that sat around and didn't do a lot of work? I mean, they're out tending sheep, right? The first time, he was in the fields with them. The second time, they're out tending sheep, and Jacob sends him to check on them. So he's not out there with them. So I don't know the relationship there from that part there exactly. But Reuben steps in. Number 7. What's Reuben going to do? He's going to save him by doing what? Put him in a pit. Okay? He's going to put him in a pit. We found out later he wanted to come back after this time and get him out. Reuben, that was his intent. But we didn't say that right now. The plan was, put him in his pit. No killing. Put him in his pit. I'll come back. Didn't tell him this. I'll come back later and get him out, he thought, and save his life there. So, he put him in a pit. Instead of killing him, he was planning to deliver him back to his father at some later point in time. Okay, number 8. Brothers are eating. Who came by and what they do with him? Israelites, Midianites came by, and they said, oh, instead of killing him, what? Let's make some money off of him, okay? Now, he's their brother. They ain't worth nothing to them dead, so saying goes. There's a chance to set him, and money is more profitable than killing him was. So they decided to set him to these traitors. Now, I stayed up here as a band of Israelite traitors from Midian came by. You look at commentators, the commentaries, lots of different ways of looking at that. A band of traders, maybe Israelites and Midianites, and maybe some others in with that band. They would travel together in a caravan. They think they were probably coming with spices. Maybe have come from India, long ways away, going down to Egypt. And this would be the way they come through that land bridge, you know, going around the desert. So, whether they were Israelites and Midianites, whether they were Israelites, they come through the land of Midian. I'm not sure there, but both names are involved here as far as what they were. They talked about Israelites, they talked about the Midianites. So, but one or the other there, they were in a caravan. Another point out, I mentioned the mountains a while ago up there around Shechem and Dothan, that area up there. One comment made that suddenly the mountains, you could see these caravans as they would wind around these valleys, around these mountains. It's a long time. You could look down from the tops of these mountains where you'd be sitting with these sheep out there. You can see these traders coming a long ways off as they wound down through these valleys around down through there. So this is the first time that we have, I guess, any record of somebody being sold in slavery. Anyway, in the biblical text. But Joseph here is sold for 20 shekels of silver. Even though he's their brother, they're going to sell him because of the money that they can get for him there. So the Israelites then took him to Egypt, where they were going to for their trade purposes. So they took Joseph there as a slave. And of course, they're traders. They're going to make money off of him when they get to Egypt with him. So, number 9. Now Reuben's got a problem. But Reuben comes back to look at the pit. He'd been away from when this all went on about the sale here. So he'd been away, he returned and found Joseph gone from the pit. So what was his reaction now? Okay. He rent his clothes. He tore his clothes. He's angry. He's highly upset because he knows now what's happened. And he's gone. I mean, they stole him away, and it's not like, you know, getting charred, running down, chasing him down and find him right quick, or put out all four bulletin out and search for him. He's gone as far as that part goes. So he tore his clothes in anger. Now, these brothers are not all young like Joseph. There's much, much older gentlemen here involved. But what task have they got ahead of them now? They go back and tell daddy, right? They go back and tell their father what's happened to his what? Son. His favorite son. They go back and report to him. So they got to make it look good. So number 10, what do they do? Are they going to cover this thing up? His coat? If it's in blood. Okay. Coat and got blood all over it. Made it bloody looking. So they take it back to his father. And they ask one question. What did they ask him? Is this your son's coat? Is this our brother's coat? Is this your son's coat? Can you tell by looking? Does this look like your son's coat? And his reaction was, yes, I mean, obviously, yes, it is. This is apparently a very unique coat. This coat of many colors. And now it's got blood all over it. And we found it out here. And he was traveling through the country going to try to find his brothers. And Jacob doesn't know if he ever found him or not found him or whatever. He just knows he's out there. And if he was traveling alone through this country up there, what could have happened to him? Must have torn apart by a wild beast. I mean, that's entirely possible. Traveling out here like this. Later on, we find David doing what with his bare hands, tending sheep. He killed bear, lion, I mean, type thing. That's not, would not be that in common. So his total conclusion was, they didn't tell him that, but the total conclusion was he must have been ripped apart by a wild animal. So, number 11, Israel or Jacob's reaction is what? Mourn for him for many days, okay? He mourned for his son many days and refused to be comforted. Mourn for him many days. So the last part of the end of this chapter, question number 12 is, what happened to Joseph? What did they do with him? Dole took him to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, who was a captain of Pharaoh's guard. They sold him to Potiphar, slave. And what they sold him for, much profit they made on him, and whatever, but they sold him to Potiphar, this captain of this guard. Now, let's stop at the end of this chapter here. We've already mentioned some, but give me some lessons. What have we learned out of here for us? Greg mentioned one up here to start with. Favoritism, okay? Parents, you got to watch it. Parents have to watch out how you do this, how you treat your children and show favoritism one versus the other. You're setting up for problems because of this favoritism. What else? Jealousy? Well, y'all are pretty good this morning. Okay. You got to run in line here. Jealousy. Jealous over the way he was, the way Joseph was treated, the special treatment he got. Things he got that others didn't get. Two Sunday nights ago, I guess it was, we went down to Northport to hear Michael speak. I told some of y'all about it. It's his first time ever to, he did a lot of Wednesday night talks. First time ever to do a full length sermon type thing. Started out, if I told us here, I'm sorry, I'll do it again, but he started out, I'm now 33 years old. It's my first time to do a full length sermon. I figured at that rate, I got one more left in my life. So he's half through this sermon. But his sermon was on jealousy. That's what he talked about. Was the whole thing was the heart and jealousy and how we deal with it. Because somebody else gets something better than we get. What's our reaction to it? And things like this. And the whole lesson then was on that. But that's certainly a problem here. What else is in here? Yeah? Yep. Yep. I ain't got that up here. And there. Hatred. Bill, I'm so glad you're in here. Okay. And I get yours in a minute over here. Somebody over here had next over here. Hatred is in the next and deceit. Okay. They didn't come out and lie per se. Tell him, this is your son's coat. We found you've been killed by an animal. But they sure led him to believe that. Everything they said, everything if they could, so he would believe that's what happened. And I'm sure there's others in there. Okay. I did that. I don't have my notes. I had this done later. When Jacob told Joseph to go on his long journey from Hebron up here to check on his brothers, what did he do? He went. Okay. And I threw this in later. And I don't have it on my sheet over here. He went. But I think that's a key point there, too. Vic, if you got the younger kids you're teaching in there. Look, he sent him on a journey. It's not an easy little trip here. It's not that run out the backyard. And, it's a long trip here. So obedience. Yeah, big time, yes. They got together as a group and did that. Good points. Very good. Okay, Joseph in Egypt. Next chapter. Skip over to 39 now. Let's look at Joseph in Egypt. Number 13, we already mentioned this. Who was Potiphar? Captain of the guard of who? Of Pharaoh, okay. He was the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. So, he's now in Egypt. And 14... while he was there, he was very successful, found favor in the sight of his master. And this is the key thing here. The Lord was with him, and everything that he did, he prospered because of it. He was a successful man. Whoops, how did I get that far? Various little thing. Successful person. Success is noted by Potiphar. The handsome man, that's pointed out in the text, and he's in charge of all his master's house. So, and the Lord blessed his master because of Joseph. Jumping ahead here. Lord bless you because of Joseph. But, even though he's a slave, though things are going well for him from that standpoint, there's always problems sitting out there. So, he's in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife, the text says, cast longing eyes for him. She wanted him to lie with her, and commit fornication with her. And so, this is the problem posed for Joseph. Number 15. When seduced by Potiphar's wife, what did Joseph say Potiphar had entrusted him? Everything in his house, except her. She belonged to him. He said he doesn't even know where the bread on his table comes from. That's all up to me. I have total control of everything in this house except you. That was his whole approach to it. So, 16. Joseph refused Potiphar's wife, saying what? Comment. How can I do this great thing? What? And sin against God. Okay. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, who is he doing it with? Her. Who is the sin against? Sin against God. Okay. Right. Yeah, he would have. Himself. God not wait, treated himself against her, even though she was totally willing. Okay. And against Potiphar, because he had now taken a possession that belonged to him. I already made that point very clear. Everything I have in your house is, in my master's house is mine except you. That belonged to Potiphar. And the big point here says, he said he'd been sinned against God if he had done this. On his own body. Yep. He sinned against himself, against the woman, against Potiphar, and against God, in my opinion. I mean, all four of them involved in there. But she kept this up. Day by day, it says. Day by day. She kept seducing him. And one point, they were in the house alone. How that came about, I don't know. The others normally there. They just happened not to be that time. I don't know how it happened, but all the men were out and gone. And he got him by his garment, again, trying to seduce him. And he left the garment and ran outside and fled. So by this time, her anger, I'm sure, is quite kindled against him. Anger, frustration, and all those other words can come into it there. So, number 17. When she refused him this one more time, ran outside, left his garment, what did she do? Told a lie. She took the garment outside and started hollering and yelling and said he had attempted to rape her. Flipped it around. And said, since she can't have that, she'll punish him with her lie there. So she told the man, the servants, and her husband that Joseph had attempted to lie with her. So, 18. What's the results? Prison. Okay. Potiphar had him put to prison. Why would Potiphar use the prison? He's had the guard. That's at his disposal. It's there. You know, he has access to the prison. So he has Joseph confined to prison. But number 19, what? Lord's with it. It says, but the Lord's with Joseph, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So Joseph is again gaining favor of those around him. So what does he do with him? The keeper of the guard now. To the prison. What did he do with Joseph? Yeah, it's parallel to what he had done at Potiphar's house. In fact, he had risen through in Potiphar's house up to be over the whole house, except the wife. And now in prison, he models himself such that he's put in charge of the entire prison. Lord was with him again then. So Joseph's placed in charge of the prison, and the Lord continues to bless him and be with him. All right, lessons again out of this section. Very good. Yep. And that's something that easy to be taught to these young folks. I wrote that down. We got the high school class next quarter. I'll be sure to break my notes here and use it. Okay. The responsibility Joseph took, even though in adverse circumstances, we'll talk about that more in a minute. The adverse circumstances, he took responsibility. There. Okay. What else? Strong faith. You want to come there in a minute? Let's get the bad ones out of the way first. Seduction. Okay. The constant seduction going on here. Lust and the lying. She lied about him. He was the victim of a lie. How do you handle when somebody lies about you? Your reaction to it? What if it even hurts you? And then the resistance. Joseph standing true to what's right, even at great hurt. Sold, prison, off to Egypt, this band of strangers, sold again, lied about. Things are going well. Right back in prison. Dumped again. Ups and downs. Ups and downs and ups and downs. Yep. What he stood with there. So, this other thing I've added on here. We've got to all remember. All of us remember. That when we sin against God. That part that's got to keep it in front of us all the time. Whoops. Woo-wee. Boy, that went crazy, didn't it? Get us a new clicker here, I think. Down at the bottom and find it. Probably this way. Just a minute. Okay. Consider God's blessings on Joseph. Joseph was faithful under the most difficult circumstances. How many of us have found ourselves circumstances that would fit what Joseph went through? And we all have our difficult, huh? Yeah. Yeah. And we all have our difficult times every day. Okay. I have mine, you have yours. Different type of challenges we have to face. I don't handle mine well. To handle them better. Every day we should handle them better. Look back at Joseph. I've never been through anything like he was. Stay with it. He had his faith there. So, go ahead. Yeah, yeah. I don't have a problem here on Sunday morning, do you? I mean, basically. Everybody comes together here. Like everybody's on the same page. We're all together. That's not a problem. But look here. How does this apply to us? Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. It's the last part of the last verse of this 39th chapter. Now, but totally agree. Did we prosper? The Lord with us? Did we prosper? Did we get raised up to a nice position of authority? Do what the Lord says? Not necessarily. He will. And you're right. And what's the big prosper that's waiting? Yeah, right. It's a difference. We're looking here at material things, how God dealt with him on a material basis on day-to-day things here. And we can't lose sight of the fact that, yeah, we suffer, and Oh, I try to do everything I can right. But I don't get raised up to all these positions of authority. I don't get made to be the big boss of the company or whatever. So I must not be doing something right. Well, the Lord don't think as much as me as He did of Joseph. Or what? What point am I missing? All these other people around me living in the, everywhere they want to, sinful lives, everything. Look how good they got it. Yes, ma'am. But he did, his faithfulness, let God do that. Okay? Now, that's not to mean that God didn't use wicked men to accomplish His purpose. I don't mean that. But the big thing I don't get to is, the Lord should be with us. Okay, and we're going to prosper too. If we do this same thing, if we're faithful, all these circumstances we face every day, if we're faithful there, our reward's coming too. It's not quite maybe like we think this being here. Oh yeah. We're about 70 down, about 12, 13 down the road shortly, and then to 70 altogether, and then to multitudes of a nation after that. No. Where I'm sleeping tonight, you know, in this dungeon here. Yep. Okay. A couple of reports from men we support came this week. I put some excerpts out of here. I want you to read through them. Think about a minute. This is Mediceo. He says, October's the end of the dry season. It's after his long letter, just down the park. But we see dust everywhere. The time of vacation for all of our students of the public schools. We have more people in our meetings in the midweek. Our young people are having more participation in our Bible classes than homes, leading prayers and songs. Some of them dedicate this time of vacation to present Bible studies in homes as a responsibility for themselves. Use this time to grow. Here, vacation season, we have in our home here in Chickawalla, whatever it is, a group of children from 6 to 12 from Santa Ana to learn God's Word and receive the influence of good attitudes. My wife and our daughters are involved in this work. They prepare material and teach all lessons. Now, here's what you see. The violence and economic situation are adversaries as they are affecting all brethren along the country. I doubt we have anything here. Economic conditions, even the stock market down like it is, economic conditions and the violence these young folks down there are experiencing. Anything like that. Then, this one. Francisco Ventura Lopez, Guatemala. To conclude after this letter, we ask you in the Church of Alabama that you pray for the brethren in the faith, because the city of Guatemala and Mexico, these areas that qualify as red zones, got a lot of crime. There are areas, gangs or crime lords who extort the elderly. There are brethren that are victims of these gangs who threaten to kill some members of their whole family. Church meets in the Belian colony, Mexico, where the Juan Manuel Ventura, he and his family have received death threats if they not come up with the amount of money demanded by these criminals. Brothers, a good work in the congregation for this. The brethren would be very hurt if something happened to him. Thorson, paying money to him. Criminals, what he calls the red zone here. So dangerous to be around and be out. I was thinking about the adversity that Joseph went through and how it applies to us. The adversity we have, difficulties day to day, and we do have them. They're just in a different form than what Joseph had here. Then I got three in these letters here. And, you know, I haven't had any of these press letters. I'm asking anybody. We'll wrap up things up here. Think we missed these, we added in, or whatever. As a youngster.
Yep.
We got to let the rest of the story unfold, don't we, Jimmy? Yep. He makes one profound statement later on about this whole thing. Joseph does here.